This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Enterprise BizBytes with Audrey and Frida. Just a few more minutes to get in touch with us. Tell us what you think. How important is English in business? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. At BFM Radio is our handle on Twitter and on Insta Story. We're going to move on to our final story of the day. And this is about some power business women in Asia.
Right. And it's nice to just end the Monday on a positive note. So this is Asia Power Business Woman 2019. So 25 were listed. It's rebooted. In 2012, Forbes Asia launched its inaugural list, a compilation of 50 outstanding business leaders who are transforming the industries and regions. Since then, the list has gone through its own transformation. 2013, the name changed to Women in the Mix. And last year, the Emerging 25 refocused on up-and-coming business women. So some interesting ones. Before I get to interesting ones, I think I really admire countries like Japan and Korea, where, traditionally not working, so to have started a business within in Japan, a country where the average proportion of women in managerial posts stands at just 7.7%. This company, owned by Akiko Naka, who's 34 years old, he has carved her own path by finding job search site Wantedly, and in late 2017 successfully listed on the Tokyo Stock Exchange Mother's Board for Startups. So since then, the share price has tripled, giving the company a market value of 29 billion yen. So that to me was very interesting.
Wantedly is actually quite interesting because it's basically a job matching site, but they don't tell you who the employer is, they don't tell you what the salary is, they don't tell you where the office is, they just tell you that this is the workplace ethic and this is the company vision, and they also tell the employer that, some more like EQ stuff about the potential work, and that's how they match the employer to the employee.
Right. So, the kind of EQ thing is usually, I guess from the women's side. So one more, they're all fascinating, but this is Nguyen Thi Phong Tao, I think I would have pronounce it correctly. She's from VietJet Aviation from Vietnam. So she's the only woman to start and run her own major commercial airline. She's made history in this traditionally male-dominated business. Her airline was founded in 2007. It's now bigger than Vietnam Airlines. Mm-hmm. And it's ranked by passengers, So from a handful of domestic routes when launched, VietJet expanded to 120 destinations. And she says, our strategy is to expand to any regional market within a radius of 2,500 kilometers so we can create bases that cover half the world population. So this venture has made her very successful, with a net worth of 2.5 US billion and the wealthiest self-made woman in Southeast Asia. So that's a big thing.
Also, when it comes to VietJet, right, I knew that she was part of some crazy, audacious promotional marketing stuff. She made flight attendants dress in bikinis for flights and beach holiday destinations. She did all these ridiculous stunts, but they garnered worldwide free publicity for VietJet. But more importantly, ticket sales just shot up.
And I think it was just a gimmick. It wasn't a case all the time. Because the question on my mind when that came was what if the coffee spilled? Okay, from India, Falguni Nair. She's got a company called Nika. So after nearly two decades as an investment banker, she was ready to go to start a business of her own. I want to experience the journey of creating something from scratch. So in 2012, she quit her job at Kota Investment Banking, invested $2 million and launched beauty retailer Nika. So today it has 46, so in a period of 7 years, has 46 stores across India and 45 million visitors a month to its website and app. And while the company is yet to break even, sales almost doubled in the year ended March 31st to an estimated 180 million US. In April, the TPG Growth invested 14 million for an undisclosed stake in the deal that valued Nika at 724 million. And she and her family still control more than 50% of the company. So that's great stuff there.
In India, right, she's one of the businesswomen that people are saying to look out for just because the young, I think the rising incomes among younger Indians is expected to help the beauty industry there. And she's one of those big shot investment bankers that when she had to start her own business, she just did everything online to keep overheads down, and she started really small, but then she was providing all these young Indian women with access to big brands like Estee Lauder. And now I think she's got more than 1,300 brands on the website, and she realized that people want to try on makeup and beauty products like women do, right? And so she's actually moved on from just online to now she has brick and mortar stores as well.
Of course, then the one Malaysian that we have is Tan Hui Ling, co-founder and CEO of Grab Malaysia. She's only 35.
Yes, yes.
Wow. So I didn't realize that because, you know, so she, as we all know, she's a co-founder and she's a Harvard MBA grad, has led the company alongside co-founder Anthony Tan in raising over $9 billion since launching 2012. Just feels like been there forever,
it's
right?
It's like a mechanical engineering yeah. grad, I think, if
okay,
I'm not
so,
mistaken.
But, yeah. Okay, so talking about the $9 billion, nearly half the sum came in March when the Singapore, now a Singapore-based startup, raised $4.5 billion in funding round led by SoftBank's Vision Fund, Alibaba, Microsoft, and 26 other investors, valuing the company at $14 billion. I think last we spoke, it wasn't $14 billion US yet. So the Series H round aims to raise another $2 billion before the end of the year.
She's the only Malaysian on the list, right? Mm. There were also a couple of like coffee outlet founders. I think there were one or two of them. There
from
are a lot
China.
Of
right. Yeah. So this is Jenny Chen Ziya from Luckin Coffee or Luckin Coffee. She founded in 2017, has really expanded a chain to 3,000 stores, is closing on a rival Starbucks, which first opened in 99. So she's 2017, right? So Starbucks has 3,600 stores. So it's based in Xiamen and she wants to go even further, opening as many as 10,000 stores across China by 2021. So this expansion has come with big losses. She lost, Luckin lost $475 million last year, but its growth is attracting investors. The company may raise $695 million in an IPO on Nasdaq and now has a market capitalization of roughly $5.3 billion US. It's also venturing abroad, partnering with Kuwait-based Americana Group to open coffee shops in the Middle East and India. So Chen was chief operating officer of Beijing-based car rental and ride-hailing firm Ucar before she started Luckin. So yeah, you know, like you would think, don't bother to go into the coffee space,
no,
right?
No, not at all. There are two of them who are in the coffee space on this list of 25. There's also like a co-working, a founder of a co-working space. There's also this other lady, I think her name, she's from South Korea. Mm. She's the chair of BioSmart. Her name is Park Hae-rin. And she is just known as the queen of mergers and acquisitions. She just buys companies and then she kind of, she works on them, right? Mm. And I think like she bought her first company by borrowing money from her dad. But then today, she's on this list. And you know, she said that she has interests in pharmaceuticals and cosmetics. Mm. And she says, I hope we can measure our success as entrepreneurs, not as a female entrepreneur.
Yes.
Which is a really good point. You know, why are there only business women on this list?
Well, I know what she's trying to get. You want to, you know, like we don't want like to use the words like mompreneur and femalepreneurs, but we should also celebrate these women that have, we want to get to the point where this doesn't matter. We want to get to that point that towards gender equality and this sort of thing. But right now, we want to celebrate this, right? And just sort of give hope for people, give hope for young girls. Say, if she can do it, I can do it too.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for Enterprise Biz Bites today. Just before we go, a quick recap of our stories. We started off, of course, is English critical to business success? And then we spoke about how by 2026, TNB will have installed smart meters in all of our homes. But some Malaysians are still pretty skeptical about it. And finally, of course, that story.
Yes, about the 25... well, not up and rising, really amazing with female entrepreneurs in Asia.
Yes, they've made it. Of course, the full list you can find will be linked to the podcast that should be up, you know, right after 1 p.m. And speaking of what's coming up right after 1 p.m., after the 1 p.m. bulletin, we have the Breakfast Grill replay. The government is banking on its Shared Prosperity Vision 2030 to reduce economic inequalities among the people. Among the people and usher Malaysia through the through IR 4.0. What are the specifics of the plan? And perhaps more importantly, what blanks remain? Koo Soo Chuang from the Morning Run spoke to Nizam Mashar, Acting CEO, Institute Masa Depan Malaysia, or MASA, and Tricia Yeo, Senior Fellow at Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS. Don't forget to catch that replay. It's happening right after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. On behalf of Frida Liu, Christine Wong, our producer, and myself, Audrey Raj, thank you for listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. We'll be back hopefully with some of the boys tomorrow at noon. This is Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.